Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera. Here, we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and I am here today with Debbie Bird, and I cannot wait for her to tell you about her story and relationship with Christ. Okay, so this is so amazing because I met, so before, it was less than 24 hours ago that we met, and now we are just like the closest of friends here hanging out today. And when I would say it was in the first like 5 minutes of my having a conversation with her that we just got into the deepest, most complicated parts of her life where she was willing to share her story with me. And I thought it was so meaningful and so powerful that I just immediately invited her to come to the podcast. So you guys, not only are you going to get to hear maybe a little bit of what I got to hear, but you're also, you guys and I are going to hear about Debbie for the first time together. So I don't know much about her story, and I'm about to learn about it with you. So I'm very excited for us to have this opportunity together. So Debbie, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Okay. So I really want to know about your background. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and then also how you came into relationship with Christ?
Sure. So I grew up in Maine, as far north as you can go and not be in Canada. And my mom's dad was a pastor, but my mom had not really embraced faith and didn't raise us in the faith. But we had children's Bibles and little stories we could read as kids, and I devoured them all. So I knew Bible stories, like cover to cover.
Were you a reader when you were a kid?
I was. And anything that was there, I would read.
Oh, awesome.
So that's where I first learned about Jesus. And then my mom had four kids, and you know, VBS is free babysitting. So we went to every VBS in town. So in many summers, there were two VBSs in our town. And again, I heard about Jesus there. But as I grew up and went to college, I definitely didn't have a faith relationship or at that time. I didn't have a relationship with God at all. And in fact, when I was in college, my history professor told us that Christianity was the cancer that killed the Roman Empire. And Whoa. So that was the kind of okay. that was the kind of thing I was under in college. Uh-huh. So and after college, I joined the military and went to pay off my school loans and fell in love with a soldier. And, you know, like you'd say, well, the rest is history.
Right.
It really is in some ways. While we were in our school for the military, we were studying Arabic at DLI, and we had this wonderful family that sort of took us under their wing, and it was our class leader. He was a Christian, and he would take us to his house, and we would have these long discussions at night about Jesus, because we were studying Arabic, so you study Islam, and a natural conversation goes to Christianity and biblical prophecy and things like that. So again, I'm learning more about Jesus. And so I think in my whole life, as I look back, because, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I look back and I can see where God had been, talking to me through these people and these circumstances, but I didn't make a choice for Jesus until something very hard happened.
You weren't realizing it at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it took a very hard circumstance for me to go, oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Well, why don't we just jump in? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to share with us what that hard mm-hmm. circumstance was?
Sure. And you know, for my children, I don't want them to have this kind of testimony where something very hard had to happen for them.
Right.
You know, for them to.
A good point. It's not the story of everyone, right?
Right.
So many people, honestly, doing this podcast, it's so evident. I mean, if you guys listen to episode after episode, you will see that it is very different. I mean, one woman on the podcast came to the Lord walking in her neighborhood and just one day just gave her life up to the Lord in the on a hilltop in her neighborhood, you know. And then another person was on the phone with a friend, and another, you see what I'm saying? I mean, I battled it out with the Lord in my closet, you know what I mean? Just different people have different stories of and then we also I've interviewed people that have grown up in the faith and can't really identify a specific point in time when they made a decision, because they had lived in light of knowing the Lord for so long that there wasn't a remarkable moment, which is also just as fine, you know? So I thank you for bringing that up, because I do think your situation is very sensitive to a hard scenario in your own life. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the story for everyone.
Right. And God has this way of watching over us, and we don't even know he's doing it, right? And even if you're not a believer, God's still watching over you.
Absolutely.
And he's putting people in your path throughout your life that when you do come to faith in Christ, you will look back and say, oh, he was there. He was there all along.
That's
right. So in my husband and I, so we met at DLI, and we were young soldiers, and we went to our first duty assignment after finishing our training and learning Arabic and learning interrogation. And then we went to our first duty assignment in Georgia, and that's where we had our first daughter.
Okay.
And it was at that point I had to make a decision, because we could be deployed at the same time, and what do we do when we're both deployed, and where does Megan go? And so I got out of the military, and he switched jobs to go to Kenya as an attaché admin. So what that looks like is you pack up your family and all of your belongings, and you put things in storage that can't fit in your new quarters, and you head out to Kenya. And that's what we did. We even took our dogs with us.
Okay.
And so we were in Kenya for about 5 months when the American embassy was attacked by terrorists, and my husband was in the embassy that day. And in fact, I was supposed to be in the embassy that day as a working in the post office. I was just the first Friday not working in the embassy that day.
Wow.
It was... I was at home with some Peace Corps volunteers. We were preparing to make a dinner for a big party that night, and I had had a conversation with my husband on the phone about what we're going to have for dinner. And then it was like minutes after we hung up that the house where we were 7 miles away shook. So I went racing down there to find, you know, with our personal vehicle, and loaded it up with blankets and things to go see if I could be of any help. And when I got there, I saw where the brunt of the blast was, and I knew that if he was in that room, he was gone. So I handed over all of my equipment. I had brought radios and everything. I just handed it all over and waited. And, of course, the news came.
Wow.
And it was a very dark moment for me, in that I can still feel all of the feelings in my body, you know, when I can still.
Right. It's a physical experience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. And that night, in that house in Kenya, it was dark. It was very dark and very quiet, almost like a suffocating silence. And in that silence and in that darkness, I reached out to this God who had been all my life in ways, you know, talking to me, and I didn't know it. I reached out to him and I said, Jesus, if you're real, I'm here and I'm broken. Whatever's left of my life is yours. And I felt this peace wash over me that was, I mean, I can, you know, the sensation, it almost re-happens. It almost happens like over again every time I tell the story to someone.
It's happening to me right now.
it's just so amazing.
It is amazing.
That he could take someone who is so broken, and I really had no idea what would happen. I mean, in that moment was so dark, but the peace was so real, and it stayed with me as I navigated life without Ken was so hard. He was my best friend, and we had pictured a bright future and a long life together and growing old together and being grandparents. And so now I am a grandparent and he's not here. So it's a new fresh wave of grief to miss him. And, but in that, those days that were, that followed the embassy attack and the getting out of Kenya and all of that, God just brought people in my path, and person after person after person, and brought me to a church, and I was baptized, and then after some time I remarried and came out to the DC area, and God found for me these amazing women's groups and Bible studies, and he was always speaking in my life, and I can look back on those years where I thought I was floundering, but really God just had me joining him in these little places all around in ministry. So I felt like I was always joining him where he was working.
Right. Isn't it neat when you relocate, when you're part of a family that relocates from place to place, and when you get to that new place, it's like, oh, God is here too. And he's moving in people's lives. And also my own experience of him is now more diverse because I'm growing. I'm seeing new things, you know? And I just love that because it is one of those things that will, the doubts that will haunt you. Is one of those doubts that's like, oh, it's just because of where you are or who you're around, or it's just because of that one person talking to you, or it's just because of that dark moment of your life that you see what I'm saying? Like there's this kind of this deceptive talk in your head that will cause doubt. And the minute you get out of that space and realize, no, God is everywhere. I mean, he's all over the world, you know, and you get into a place like the DC area where you and I both live right now, and you find it's like, wow, God is working everywhere.
He sure is. And it's such a privilege to join him where he's working.
That really is amazing. Thank you for sharing. That is such a really hard thing to have lived through.
It is. And I feel like for a time I let that grief define me and I didn't process it in a way that was healthy. I tended to stuff it because I thought in my head, you know, it was not very Christian to be sad or to be grieving. And so I leapt over a bit of the grief process and had to come back to it later in life. And what God showed me is that, you can hold both grief and joy. There's no pizza of, you know, grief and joy that you can only take so many pieces from. Like you can in the same moment be experiencing grief, but also have tremendous joy, and they're not mutually exclusive. Right. And the tension that's between the two is a holy tension, and it's there because of where we are this side of glory, and it's going to be that way for us here. But when once we can learn to hold both at the same time, then we can have a healthy walk through grief, I believe.
Right. So, gosh, as you talk about grief and joy coexisting, I kind of think of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. Like if you think about Jesus going to the cross as a criminal, whenever he had committed no crime. And in part grieving the sin of man, grieving, you know, it's almost like I'm even thinking about before he went to the cross, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's just crying out to God, God, please remove this cup from me. This is so hard, you know, and then going to the cross and even asking God to forgive the criminals that were on his right and left, right, hanging on crosses next to him. And to think that simultaneously there was also a joy of coming to do what you were intended to do, of coming to fulfill what God had promised in order to save mankind. And I've frankly, I have never had this thought until this very moment. I mean, this is a brand new thought to me of the idea of Jesus experiencing simultaneous grief and joy in that moment. And the fact that the way that you articulated not realizing that they could coexist, but then when you did realize they could coexist, there were, it sounds like to me that you had some new freedom in that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And a healing of a place that was still broken,
right?
You know, that I had maybe spiritually bypassed without really processing it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you have now had a number of years of being in relationship with God ever since that night of Jesus, if you're real, I'm yours because I don't have anything to give right now. Right. Like, so you've got to just take me and do your thing. Right.
Yes, yes.
And you got this overwhelming peace. And from that point forward, you start walking in, journeying in your faith. After all of this time and all these life lessons and things that you've learned, what would you say are some of the things that you have learned about God that now, after walking with Him, you know these things are true about God?
That He is working all things for my good. What the plans that He has for me are better than anything I have for myself. And even though it was terribly hard to lose Ken, the plan was that I would also have two more children. And so God worked that for my good and in a way that I never would have dreamed. I didn't know that I would have more kids. I didn't even know that. But God did.
Right.
I think that's the main thing that I've learned about Him is that He's working all things for my good, even the hard, dark things, even when someone decides to blow up an embassy, you know, God's going to work that for our good.
He can use it.
Yes.
Right. And He can, for many years after a very dark time that I went through, I've used the phrase that God turns darkness to light, and He's been doing it since the beginning of time, and He's not going to stop now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea for me that because darkness can be very isolating, right? It can make you feel very alone. And the idea that darkness has been happening for a very long time and that God has been overcoming it since the beginning of time is so reassuring to me. It is such a beautiful thought. And when I'm sometimes like pity party in my own darkness, I think about that. And I just think, you know what, God, this is not new to Him. He knows how to turn darkness to light. And it sounds like you really did experience that as well. I'm hesitating a little bit here because I normally do not do this when I'm on the podcast, but I have picked up my phone, guys, and it's because I was looking up scripture because I wanted to read something that I wish I could. I feel like I used to be able to quote this, but I was afraid I was going to mess it up. So I pulled it up. So I'm going to read it. But this is from Romans 8. And you mentioned that He's working things together for good. And I'd like to read the full passage sits in. It starts with, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words." I feel like that verse is the night that you prayed.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And then it goes on to say, "And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Ooh, the fact that the Spirit intercedes for the children of God according to the will of God is so incredible. I can close my eyes and think of times that it has been very evident to me that he's just shown up for me. In fact, I'm not wearing it right now, but I have a necklace that is a Star of Bethlehem necklace. And at first, I thought I was getting a North Star. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is Star of Bethlehem. But then it turned out to be even better, the story, because what I say to myself when I put it on, this star is a reminder that God shows up to direct my path. Mm. Anyway.
I love it.
And that for me is how he intercedes, right? According to the will of God. And then it goes on in verse 28 to say, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. And I just love that God is calling you according to his purpose. And therefore, he has worked these things out for your good. Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome.
Love it. So podcast listeners, don't get too used to that, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull that off very often. But I was able to pull that one up pretty quickly. So you have learned that he is for you. He's not against you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I love that has been so evident to you in your life. Well, obviously this experience with your late husband was a pivotal time in your life and foundational, honestly, for your own relationship with Christ. And I'm wondering if you've had any other experiences that you'd like to share where you just feel like the presence or maybe the power of God was so evident to you.
Well, it just even recently.
Okay.
So I was part of a women's retreat where we had gone away, and there was some minor conflict happening, and I recognized right away that it was not normal for these people to have this kind of conflict, and it was a spiritual battle. And so I just went to the Lord and just complete surrender and prayer and asking for the Holy Spirit to show up and to work in these women's lives, and for anything not of Jesus to be bound by the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus to be bound back. And in that night, it was so amazing that the one person that was really struggling had a complete 180 in what she was thinking and doing. And I had this front row seat to Wow. watch God show up and totally transform her life. And I mean, it's still happening. Like it's not a finished story. Like Yeah. it's still happening, but I just saw God at work in such a way that was so powerful. And don't ever underestimate the power of prayer or the power that we have as Christians to bind back anything not of Jesus mm. Christ. We can say that we have that power and authority. Mm. So it was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just saw conflict dissipate.
There was nothing I could have said or done to resolve it, because exactly. there was like this anger bubbling, and at first I was very overwhelmed and I didn't know what to do. But we always know what to do. We can pray,
right?
So that's where I went, and it was God. It was completely His work in yeah. that moment. So yeah.
So I'm curious about this. I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about prayer, because you know, just from what I've heard, I hear that you had this transformational experience, right? Then you dealt with a lot of grief and like trying to mm-hmm. overcome the grief, but then ultimately realizing that the grief can coexist with the joy. and also continuing to move through waves of grief while also understanding and experiencing joy and knowing that God is for you and that God is not against you. So I'm hearing all these things, but I'm curious, at what juncture did you learn how to pray, or did someone like teach you how to pray, or, you know, what it, because now it seems like it's just like the thing that you knew to do in this particular situation. What occurred in your life over time that helped you cultivate that type of habit or that awareness that prayer is that powerful? Can you think of anything that has cultivated that for you?
Sure. I do have a practice or a habit of praying scripture back to God, and it's in a format that I've been using for, gosh, I'd say 6 years, maybe.
Oh, okay. Tell us about it. I want to hear about it.
It's called Face to Face, and it's written by Dr. Kenneth Boa. And the way it's laid out is in there's 3 months of prayers, and for one for every a set of prayers for every day, and they're based on the format of the Lord's Prayer. So in the all the aspects of the Lord's Prayer are represented by a certain scripture. So so every day you're in the way they're written is in a you're talking back to God in first person, like it's an I, So that practice really helped me when I didn't know how to pray, when I was either so grief stricken or so overwhelmed that I even, of course the Holy Spirit's interpreting my groanings, but
yeah, read, that's cool. Yeah. Yes.
So I knew that, but,
right. But still, yeah.
That practice helped shaped my prayer life in a way not that it was rote in any way, because it was God's word. I was speaking it back to him, and it just became like this beautiful thing that when I would pray, I could pray God's word back to him. And then recently I was on this prayer team as we were working towards a retreat, and I was involved in that and like daily prayer. I had this idea, we're going to do 101 prayers before the retreat and countdown. Well, we did that, and it was super powerful.
Wow.
And it was, again, praying scripture back to God, just a little piece of scripture every day for people to pray back to God. And
as you're saying, praying back to God, I kind of chuckled inside for a second because you said saying it back to God. And I was thinking about kids talking back to their parents. And like, we typically think of that in like a negative connotation. Oh, right. Yeah. But then I thought, so I have teenage sons at this point in time, very, very quickly becoming non-teenagers. One of them is 18, so it won't be long. But I'm just thinking about what a joy it is when I hear one of my sons talk to me about something that I have been trying to cultivate within them over time, and then they say it back to me as their own new idea. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I'm having a hard time articulating this, but I'm not saying that I am like passive aggressively trying to get them to believe something or what, you know what I mean? But you know, you're teaching your kids, you're steering your kids, you're guiding your kids, you're coaching your kids, and you're just praying that they will discover on their own truth, right? That they will discover truth on their own. And as my boys get older, I have had this experience of hearing them talk about things that they believe, things that they care about, things that they understand to be true. And when they say them to me, it's totally their thought. It's their belief. It's their conviction. But it is a truth that I also know to be true. And it just causes my heart to leap for joy, you know? And I'm thinking about God whenever we speak his word to him, how that must be such an intimate, personal thing for him and for us, you know, for him to hear us claiming the truth that he has set in place for us. Yes. And I love it. I a lot of times people think that relationship with God is about us having some sort of experience with God, and it is a relationship. It's him and us in this relationship. You know, we are in this very vibrant, dynamic relationship with him. So that's really beautiful. You have caused me to have all of these like new interesting thoughts today. I feel like I've just been hearing what you're saying, and it's causing me to think of things that I haven't thought about in a really long time. So mm-hmm. thank you for being so encouraging with your testimony. Just as we wrap up, do you have any advice or anything that you would like to share with someone who might be struggling to believe right now that you think might be an encouraging word for them?
That God is big enough to handle your doubts. You can bring any kind of doubt to him and he can handle it. It's not a sin to have a doubt, because why would we need faith if we could just believe everything on face value? You know, I think doubts are worth working through. So I would definitely say that God is big enough to handle any doubt that you have.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Debbie, thank you for joining us today. This has been a wonderful conversation, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
If you would like to know what the Bible says related to today's faith conversation, please go to the description of this episode. To hear more faith conversations, click follow, and you can share this episode to encourage someone else on their journey.